WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is still shut down and could stay that way for a while. There is no movement on compromise, but there is a budget vote expected in the Senate today that is likely to fail. Police in Manchester, England say one of the two people killed in the synagogue attack yesterday was accidentally killed by police. A massive fire at a Chevron oil facility in El Segundo, California, south of L.A. ABC's Trevor Ault has more on the intense flames.
Firefighters rushing to the scene in El Segundo, California around 9:30 last night, trying to tackle that gigantic blaze. Several fires burning within the facility.
Yeah, we have heavy flames showing from the refinery.
Towering flames and billowing smoke turning the night sky red. The inferno could be seen for miles.
Today is sentencing day for Sean Diddy Combs in New York. He is expected to address the court and apologize. Prosecutors are asking he receive 11-year sentence. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin will join another multi-state lawsuit against actions taken by the federal government. According to a press release, the lawsuit seeks to block new restrictions on federal funding meant to support victims of domestic violence and other crimes that were imposed by the U.S. Department of Justice. The coalition is challenging a restriction that would require crime victims to be screened for their immigration status before they could receive the legal services that may be available under the Victims of Crime Act. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to create a statewide registry for Parkinson's disease. The registry would be established through the Department of Population Health Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and include annual reports on the prevalence of the neurological disease. The hope is increased tracking of Parkinson's could help researchers identify potential contributing factors like environmental conditions. Parkinson's is the second most common neurological disease after Alzheimer's. The Northwest Wisconsin Grazers Network and a handful of partner organizations are inviting residents to a pasture walk this week to learn more about innovative grazing practices. The pasture walk will begin at 10 a.m. on Saturday at Grazing Acre Farms in Chautauqua. Topics covered during the event will include information on livestock manure and soil health, as well as forage practices for the fall and winter. Following the pasture walk, attendees will also have a chance to network with other grazers and discuss additional ways to improve their own operations. With the contested case hearing for Enbridge Energy's Line 5 pipeline relocation project set to wrap up this week, DNR officials say the company exceeded environmental standards for the issued permits. Tribal officials and conservation activists challenged those permits, arguing the relocation still puts area wetlands at risk in case of an oil spill. Earlier this week, DNR staff argued the company had met or exceeded all of the best management practices associated with the plan, including over 200 permit conditions issued by the agency. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Here come the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Chicago Cubs beat the Padres last night 3-1. It's the first time the Cubs have ever won the final game of a playoff series at Wrigley Field. Up next, they'll face off against the Brewers at American Family Field in Milwaukee. Game one, the best of five National League Divisional Series. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
It's Cubs Brewers. That's going to be, you know, as good as it gets. It's always a great atmosphere when the two teams play each other. We'll try to get as many Cubs fans in there as we can. They won't like that, but it's going to be a fun atmosphere. I know that.
Freddy Peralta on the mound for Milwaukee. The first pitch at 1:08 tomorrow afternoon. College football. The Badgers against number 20th ranked Michigan. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Big House in Ann Arbor. The Badgers still dealing with injuries on the offensive line.
It's another one of those things that's just been most difficult. It's not knowing in your preparation who are you or will you have as you get towards Saturday.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome John Sabo from First Tee, Wisconsin. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr drops by with fun music and great chat.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News.
Oh, that's pretty good so far. Yeah.
Now, from Nashville, the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, I was a little high there at the end, but that was nice. Thank you, Parker Olson. Yeah. Appreciate that very much.
I do what I can for you, Pat.
Yes, you do. Good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here on this Friday morning. October 2nd. Coming up, we will have Joan Esposito and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel forming our Week in Review panel. I'll have a few comments in a couple of minutes here about Derek Van Orden and what he has said this week that further besmirches his service and the uniform that he once wore. But first, let's check in the mailbag here in the comment sections of Facebook and YouTube. And from Rob, we've got good morning from Tigerton. Partly cloudy and 56. He's got 5 yards to mow in Tigerton. He says much of northern Wisconsin is now in a drought. Tigerton hasn't had measurable rain since September, and with the falling leaves could increase the fire risk as well. So a good little note of caution from Rob in Tigerton. From a weather standpoint, I mean, it is definitely not fall-like yet, temperature-wise. I mean, we have temperatures that are going to be coming close to or setting records. Then a cold front is supposed to push in sometime around Sunday and will make things breezy. And then we will start the next work week with much more fall-like temperatures. Of course, we've got updated forecasts for you throughout the day on your Civic Media radio station. Tony noting on YouTube, yes, it hasn't rained in a while, which we hadn't really noticed because, you know, it isn't like growing season anymore, so folks don't think about it. But yeah, it's starting to get a little dry out there. Let's see. It is 7:08. That seems like as good a time as any to do our first round of the day for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. The green and gold would be cash and jewelry. And I believe this might be the final day of this. So you better get some entries in. Entries plural. There are 7 chances to win throughout the course of the day. You send us a text through the Civic Media app. You look up a station. You use the text button. And you send us a keyword before the end of the hour. So before 8 o'clock this morning, you've got to send in the keyword that I'm about to give you. Of all the day's entries in this multi-station, multi-state game, one lucky winner today will get $200 cash and a gold-plated chain, and then one really lucky winner gets the 2-week contest grand prize. That would be 2 club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a little football game in Green Bay on November 23rd, plus a gas card to get you to the game. I supposed to get home, too. Total value of the prize package is more than $1,500. And so if you're ready, and I almost am, let's go find that keyword of the day for our Text to Win contest. The word is love. You know, like Jordan. So again, the text word is love. Text that in before 8 o'clock this morning, to be entered for our prize of the day and also for the big grand prize as we start to wrap up the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Again, love is the word, and your next chance to win will be in the 9 o'clock hour with Greg Bach and Jane Matinair as part of Matinair On Air. All right, well, let's get to what Congressman Derek Van Orden has been doing once again to bring a little dishonor to service that we should be saluting. And I say that as the proud son of a soldier. And I have great admiration and gratitude toward anyone who serves in America's armed forces. But here's the thing. Service in and of itself is not a blank check. There are duties of service that go beyond what you do in a battlefield or in any other capacity. Service is perpetual. And that includes the things that you say and do when you are no longer wearing the uniform, and especially the things you say and do when you run for and serve in elected office. Now, I know there are people like Derek Van Orden who see elected office and politics as some kind of an easy punching bag, and they treat their own service in office as some kind of a joke, like it's beneath them to be part of something that we all like to complain about. But politics isn't something that's beneath you. It's an essential part of a free and functioning democracy. Another essential part of a functional and strong democracy is a healthy respect for the men and women who serve in leadership roles in our military. Now, again, I'm not saying military leaders get a blank check. They too can make mistakes. Some of them can be not good people. Some of them not good battle planners in retrospect. But to trash military leadership as a group, as you're about to hear from former Navy SEAL Derek Van Orden, does a disservice not just to the leadership, but to all the troops, sailors, Marines, airmen, and others all up and down the chain of command. So listen to this latest outburst from Congressman Van Orden about military leadership on the Vicki McKenna Show, reacting to what was said to them by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth earlier this week.
And me and my buddies spent over 20 years in sustained combat, and we have been waiting for somebody to tell these generals to do their damn jobs. They turned the war in Afghanistan and Iraq into a Vanity Fair project. They wanted to, they compete on how many people had in their personal security details. They competed on their quarters to make sure they had the fanciest things ever. And they did things over and over again to get promoted. So we were in Afghanistan for 20 years, but we actually fought about 40 different wars because these general officers and flag officers came in and they had to do their own footprint to get promoted. That's why we lost those wars. The general officers and flag officers turned it into a vanity project, and it was disgusting. And I've never seen any type of vitriol from the enlisted and junior officers towards the general officers and flag officers in the GWAT. And wow. Pete Hegseth is roping them up hard.
At the end there, he says GWAT. That's the acronym for Global War on Terror. Now, set aside the whole Pete Hegseth, Donald Trump debacle, if you can, because on its own, what happened this week was a national embarrassment, and it damaged American prestige across the globe, no matter how much Derek Van Orden wants to cheer for it. But let's set that aside and just focus on Van Orden's desire to play me too, when it comes to talking down the generals. Because again, he is an elected official. Young men and women should be inspired by what he says about service. Instead, he's whining, which is talking pretty big for someone who has 20/20 hindsight about what took place in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's not some kind of a special gift to be able to criticize leaders after an outcome has been determined. So all he's really managed to do is undermine the military. His disdain for his own leaders brings comfort to enemies, and it gives pause to young men and women who might now second guess whether to serve because of his whining. It's also pretty big talk for someone who was, to put it charitably, insurrection adjacent on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th. That's right, Congressman. We haven't forgotten that either, your role that day in deciding to fly to Washington on that January 6th day, by the way, using campaign funds, to help rally for a cause that was rooted in a lie by a man who tried to overturn an American election and encourage the armed insurrection that followed. You willingly chose to take part in that. Even if you never stepped foot inside the Capitol, even if you personally never attacked a single police officer on the grounds that day, you chose to be there for reasons that were faulty and embarrassing to your own previous service. The role that he played is only magnified as he takes elected office and also now attacks people using the very First Amendment freedoms he allegedly promised to defend. But now when teachers and doctors and people from all walks of life try to assert their First Amendment freedom of expression, people in office, like Congressman Van Orden, get them fired. He simply lacks the emotional temperament to defend our country from enemies foreign and domestic when he sees political disagreements as domestic terrorism and when he sees his military commanders as political targets. It's not just that he's not worthy of the office. He's not worthy of the uniform. And again, we have gratitude for his service at the time in the military, but his service in Congress has become too much of an embarrassment for his district, for the state, and frankly, for the country. It is 7:16 right now, and turning to other and much lighter matters, we now know who the Milwaukee Brewers are going to be playing in the National League Division Series after the Chicago Cubs defeated the San Diego Padres in the wildcard round of the playoffs. And so we now know as well the start times for at least the first couple of games, Cubs versus Brewers at American Family Field. And that includes, we also know when the pregame will be taking place for the Brewers too. And it is now a 1:08 first pitch on Saturday, Brewers versus Cubs. So 12:35 is when the pregame will begin on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward as well. So again, that is for game one on a Saturday afternoon. But then game two, also at American Family Field, is going to be later. It's going to be a late start. The first pitch will be at 8:08, which means the pregame will be about 7:35, Parker, if I'm not mistaken. And that's when, again, we can do what Parker wants in this series, which really has become the story of the day. It's not the Taylor Swift album. It's not anything else. It's Parker declaring that he wants to make the children of Chicago cry.
Yes.
Because of the way the Brewers are going to stomp on the Cubs in the National League Division Series.
Yes.
Like, no. You have no regrets about saying
yeah,
it that way.
You know, there's more to it than just dunking on Chicago sports fans. It's building character, Pat.
Building character.
Yes.
I like that.
You need to go through adversity in life. And yeah, what is sports but adversity?
There is a lot of heartbreak involved, you know, and that's the thing with taking on the Cubs with this series. It's going to be a case of, you know, highest highs, lowest lows. If we lose, it's going to stink, you know, and something that will always stick with us. But if we can get to the National League Championship Series by ramming it down Craig Counsell's throat and making everybody in Chicago a little more despondent.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. And I'm not just saying that because Chicago radio legend Joan Esposito is waiting here. When we say we want the children of Chicago in tears, we'd be saying that anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm betting Joan's going to want some equal time on this in just a couple of minutes. But before we go, along with the Brewers playing tomorrow against the Cubs, we also have the Badgers playing in Ann Arbor against Michigan. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff, and the coverage will begin at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. Once again, our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, last day of it, is going on right now. And the word this hour is love. So get on that Civic Media app, head over to any of the stations and use the text feature and text love, L-O-V-E, before 8 o'clock to be in the running for the daily prize and the grand prize to see Green Bay play Minnesota in Green Bay next month. Great indoor seats for a nice little football game. So still ahead, the aforementioned Joan Esposito and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze are both off this week. And Jim Santel, we're going to talk to him about the recent dismissal of a lawsuit filed by a Waukesha teacher fired for a social media post. Doesn't that sound familiar in this day and age? I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the goal for the green and gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community at WHSM.com. That's community at WHSM.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
The Buds of the North here, WBZH. It is a Friday morning. Joel and Gray, another beautiful day in the Northwoods. Morning, Gray.
Good morning, Joel.
A couple more days here of summer, and then the fall temperatures will settle in. Nothing drastic, but it'll just feel more like fall next week.
My vest is ready.
Yeah, all right. We got a keyword.
And so is my other vest.
Right. We got a keyword this hour, by the way. Final day of our Text to Win contest here on the Civic Media Network. It's love, L-O-V-E. As in Jordan, just L-O-V-E, love is your keyword. Get that to us. Final chances to qualify for the tickets and for the gold and the cash and all that good stuff. I thought today, since this is technically going to be the final weekend of warm summer weather, it's going to click in Monday, I'm going to present to you, Mr. Gunderson, today my top five things that people need to do this weekend as summer winds down and then the cooler weather kicks in on Monday.
I need to give you a peek into my brain for a second, though. I thought you were going to say my top five seasons.
Like, all right. Construction. Of course,
yeah.
Number five, construction. So here it is, couple outside looking in, couple OLIs and the top five things you need to do this weekend before the cooler weather sets in. Outside looking in is get around to golf in, all right? Because golfing in the warm weather, for me, that's golf, right?
Check.
Cold weather, I don't want to struggle through that. So that's a no-brainer. Throw something on the grill, preferably not a relative. A brat, burger, something like that. Throw it on the grill because a lot of people tuck away that grill for the winter. Not everybody, but most people do. So throw something on the grill.
Yeah, something inanimate.
Yes. Something you can put in a bun, maybe, or whatever it may be.
Wow, so there's like three different qualifiers we've given that may or may not have anything to do with each other.
So those you're outside looking in. All right, number five, things that you probably can't do in the winter that you should do this weekend if you want to. Number five, go skinny dipping. There you go.
Swimming was the first thought that came to mind. I see we're doing this a little differently. I think I just need to strap in here and let you continue.
There's more people than probably you know that are on those secluded lakes that on a cool summer morning.
Well, and since COVID, those lakes are less secluded, but they're still doing it. people will.
Just be sure there's no one that is a prankster close to you, and you'll be... You'll be doing the Adam and Eve fig leaf thing, trying to get back to your camera.
Yeah, the old parent trap. Cabin. Where are my clothes?
Where are my clothes? Yeah. So if you're going to go skinny dipping, just do it subtly. Don't tell everybody you're skinny dipping, all right?
You know, we might still be advising people to break the law, even saying it that way, Joel. We may or may not officially be able to even advise you ever skinny dip. Pretend we didn't.
Is it really skinny dipping if you tell somebody that you're skinny dipping, though? Or is it more just a show? Does it go from skinny dipping to something else really fast?
Yep, I think there are other terms that apply that we can't use here that immediately become more accurate.
All right, number four on our top five list of things to do this weekend that you won't be able to do this winter, let the cat out, wait 5 minutes, and then go find it. Because in the wintertime, cats are like one, they take a step out the door and they're like, well, I'm not nuts, you think I'm crazy? But in the summertime, 5 minutes, that'll be a good chase.
People like me, though, with indoor-only cats are like, yeah, oh, nothing changes. Nothing changes. Like Lou, he's going to be inside. And in the winter, he'll stay inside. We got the litter box inside. I like that thought, though. I'd love to let Lou outside.
But does your cat want to go outside?
More every time I find him by the door. He seems more and more interested. Usually he kind of like sniffs and he's like, you know what? No, I can't do that. But lately he's been like, man, that seems more interesting.
So what's harder to find? A cat that is an indoor cat that gets out once in a while, or a cat that is outdoors a lot and now you just want to find him for the night? Which one's harder to find?
You know, I mean, the thing is there's a short list of places where Lou could ever be because he's indoor only. So I think that makes him by default easier to find, but I don't know. I've never had an outdoor cat.
I got a cat that loves the outdoors, but he'll stick close to the house. He knows where supper's coming from.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to hunt it down.
The constant source.
So that's just something to ponder. Number three on the list of things to do now before winter hits that you won't be able to do, frog hunting. So if you're a frog if you're a frog hunter, you might want to go out and do a little bit of that this weekend.
The side of you comes out in this list that I didn't expect. Frog hunting. What are you gigging them? Are you catching them with red cloth on a hook, or what are you doing?
I was at a buffet over the weekend over in River Falls, and they had frog legs. A Chinese buffet, and they had frog legs.
Mm.
I wasn't ready for it. I didn't try it. if I knew it was coming, I probably would have. But I wasn't. It surprised me. I'm like, that's what I. It's not what I'm here for.
Some confident self-awareness out of Joel Karnick. I wasn't ready for it, and I didn't try it. Said with a smile, though. I admire that.
Yeah, but they're big frog hunters. So if you're doing that, I think they're still bouncing around out there this weekend.
In a dryer or something.
Number two, a very more simpler one, maybe a final boat ride. There's still some boat riding left, but some people like to tuck away that boat for the winter ahead of time. So
I thought you said bull ride.
What is happening
right now? The frogs are bouncing around and the bulls are too. So you hop on one, you catch the other, and you'll have a grand old summertime.
Well, either one could be interesting. But
ride the bullfrogs and maybe catch the bulls. You could turn that around and maybe end up in the ER. Can't advise. I don't think we can officially give you a recommendation on that.
Yeah, hardcore fishermen, you're like, whatever, Joel. But I'm talking about just the casual people like to go out for a boat ride. A comfortable boat ride without three layers on.
A cruise.
Is good.
A pontoon cruise, maybe?
Yeah, because some people like to tuck away that pontoon. Just get it out of there before it gets too cold. Number one thing to do this weekend before winter sets in that you probably haven't done all winter, finally, go take a nap in that hammock that you put up in the spring and then never set in. The whole summer. That would be the time to do it now.
I've got an OLI for you there that's very similar to the hammock. That, you know, that kayak that you dragged out of the shed there on the first warm day of the year and you
cobwebs.
Still haven't planted your backside in.
Several different spiders living
and
inside.
The bird's nest above it has gotten more action than the kayak itself. Like, you just put it away. Just put it, it's what I did. Just put it away. I'm talking about myself. I'm that guy. It's me.
We all have those things we drag out in the spring and we're like, oh, yay, it's summer.
Well, I just, you can't foresee not using a kayak over the course of an entire summer, you know? Or like, I've had my fishing pole in my car all summer long. I finally gave up yesterday. I thought, I haven't used it since opening weekend. It just hasn't shook out that way.
Yep. So a little kayak ride or something that maybe you took out in the spring that you haven't used yet. The hammock. If you're using that hammock with another person, you better be dating them. So the hammock is a huge, you got to get a little nap in this weekend. Football talk coming up. We'll talk, Packers don't play this weekend, but we will talk football in just a little bit. Keyword this hour is love, L-O-V-E, love, in the Green and Gold Text to Win contest with the Civic Media Network on the Buzz of the North. Pat Kreitlow coming in next.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
That's a sound you'll hear at World Dairy Expo, courtesy of the New Glarus Yodel Club during the Grand Champion Drive of the Brown Swiss. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and we'll hear from yodeler Tony Sragan after this.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Tony Sragan along with us. He's a proud member of the New Glarus Yodel Club. He tells us what brings his group to World Dairy Expo.
Right now they're playing the alphorn, which is an ancient instrument, you know, used by the herdsmen for 200-300 years at least up in the Alps in Europe. I came from Switzerland 45 years ago. And yeah, these are the traditions, the bells, you know, and of course we'll do yodeling, singing. And we are here especially for the Brown Swiss Champion Show. So we always lead in the Parade of Champions, you know, for the Brown Swiss cows.
Tony Sragan along with us from the New Glarus Yodel Club. I've got more agribusiness news on the way.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
I'd like to give a few congratulations from World Dairy Expo. The winning lifetime milk production cow, Lucky Merjack Azalea, took home senior and grand champion titles at the 2025 International Junior Holstein Show. Congratulations, owners Tessa and Stella Schmacher of Whitewater, Wisconsin. In the International Junior Ayrshire Show, reserve junior champion went to Lazy M Wish Applause. Congratulations to exhibitors Eden and Dayton Richter of Stitzer, Wisconsin. You can find updates from World Dairy Expo at MidwestFarmReport.com. Also keep up with our coverage on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report. From the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
The World Dairy Expo is underway in Madison, and tariffs, how they're affecting agriculture. We'll discuss it all with Midwest Farm Report Director Pam Yonke next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Man, look at us collecting all this love over here, mostly because that's the key word for this hour, love, L-O-V-E, and the Go for the Green and Gold text to win contest. But let me get over to my other screen here and thank some of the folks who've been texting in. Jessica and Cudahy did. Let's see. There's Rhonda in South Milwaukee. Jim in Brookfield. Yep, you got it there. But Jim in Germantown, that was a misspelling. Just to give you a hint, you might want to try again and put in love, L-O-V-E. Let's see. And then we've got Meredith in Madison. Also got the keyword wrong. She sends in on the text line, "Oh, I love gym time." Well, that's not the keyword, but that is probably a commentary on Jim Santel. So, Jim, you have a fan out there as well.
From all the bar is now very high. I'll try to live up to that expectation.
I don't doubt that you can do that all the way. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is here, as well as Joan Esposito from WCPT Radio in Chicago. Find what she's doing over at heartlandsignal.com. Jim, let me start with you now on something with a tie to Wisconsin, a court case. And I don't know if we're going to be all done hearing about it or if there's going to be an appeal, but it's about a teacher in Waukesha who made a social media post about the song Rainbow Land not being used. The school district wouldn't allow it to be used. She put up a post about it. And now for the second time in a week, we're talking about a Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. This particular one filed a First Amendment lawsuit, which was recently dismissed. Well, what's your take on that?
Well, and this is once again underscoring what we all are focusing on today, as you just indicated, First Amendment rights. This is Melissa Temple. I should say to you and Joan and your listeners that I know Melissa well. And although she was never a client of mine, I certainly have spoken to her about these kinds of issues and worked with her in the community. So I want everybody to know that up front in terms of who she is and where she comes from. Got it just right. The big question here as I look at this is, got it again, Pat, accurately noting that she complained about the fact that the district was not allowing her first grade class to sing Rainbow Land. So that's how we're talking about these issues today. What happens is she does file this lawsuit, goes to a federal magistrate judge. Her name is Nancy Joseph. Interestingly, she is also the same magistrate judge who recently recommended to the district court the case against Hannah Dugan not be dismissed. Here, the judge interestingly finds that Ms. Temple, Melissa, was in fact speaking as a private citizen at the time, and that she was speaking on a matter of public concern. You might think, well, gee, private citizen, public concern, shouldn't that mean that she's got the capacity to do it? All kinds of cases out there. There's an interesting case called Garcetti from 20 years ago having to do with these very issues and the restrictions on government employees there. But here in the end, the magistrate judge says you got to do some balancing, which is what typically judges do. And she says that the interests of the school board when it comes to things like receiving phone calls and some additional police presence that they decided to have at various locations, some emails and staff that are banding about, some disharmony, as they said, among some staff members, all of that, overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly. And that's the issue that should be debated in the public domain.
I just don't know about that, Joan. Yeah. When it says that the teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations so that its interest took precedence in the case. And look, you can accuse me of going apples and oranges here, But if she couldn't put up a social media post about a song, what if this were 50, 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school? Would we also say, well, that just disrupted the district's operations? You've got to let them stay segregated. And Joan, I know you and I, you know, aren't former U.S. attorneys, but on appearances, this just looks funny.
Jim, this is why people hate the courts. Mm-hmm. They really do. This whole, you know, both sidesing. That's essentially it's a First Amendment right. And even if she did disrupt what happened at the school board, maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted. This is the kind of court ruling that makes me just want to tear out my hair. Well, this idea that somehow you can make everybody happy, or, well, you're really right, but you're not all that right, or maybe there's some right in the other side. Kill me now.
It's a matter of, when it comes to social media posts, which I get, we're still in the relative infancy of social media in terms of, you know, the history of the entire constitutional republic here, Jim, but marry that along with the Ellsworth teacher who Congressman Derek Van Orden, you know, helped get ousted from a job for a social media post. And I don't want to believe that the recommendation here is that teachers are some kind of a lesser employee and therefore should not have First Amendment rights on social media. And I get if you accuse me of being oversimplistic.
Right. No, I'm not lesser employee, lesser human being is right. What that judge is saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't think you are being simplistic at all. We know that there's no right that is unqualified, is unconditional, but we've always placed, as Joan was just indicating, the First Amendment, right? We talk a lot about how, even if this does have some disruption, the courts are plain. You can say offensive things. You can say things that are unpopular. We exalt that. We say that that's the marketplace of ideas. Even if you don't like them, that's what the First Amendment is all about. And here again, we've got a situation where the question, as you said at the outset, Pat, is, do you take this up on appeal? My concern, candidly, and I know that the lawyers are going to be talking about this, is you don't want the Court of Appeals to codify something here, maybe affirming the district court judge. It basically says, well, you know, if you've got a governmental entity, if you've got a school board, and the community doesn't like what the teacher said, then you can fire that person or impose some discipline. That would be a very bad precedent at a higher court level that I'm concerned about as this goes forward.
Well, then, Jim, can we get that Fox host fired who said that unhoused people should be euthanized? How right. about that? That was right. offensive to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we protect that, right? That's exactly the point, Joan, right? We protect right. that offensive language, yes.
You know, yeah. when I appear on Joan's show occasionally down in Chicago, there's one subject that always seems to come, well, there are a few, but Derek Van Orden, the congressman, comes up with increasing frequency. I don't know if Joan has me on all the time just to share the latest crazy thing that Ron Johnson said, or now Derek Van Orden. But earlier in this hour, we played a clip from him on a radio show. It just absolutely trashing the, you know, the generals and all the other military leaders, you know, based on his own experience in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm not taking away anything from Derek Van Orden's First Amendment rights, even though he's going after other people's First Amendment rights. However, Jim, you know, as somebody like yourself who served as well, I wondered how those comments sit with you, not just the ones that Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump made about military leaders, but a sitting member of Congress from Wisconsin and retired Navy SEAL saying the things that he said about America's military leadership.
They sat very, very badly with me. I spent about 2 years or so as a civilian working with JAG attorneys who are spectacular. And yes, the colonels and the generals there who are, where again, regardless of what you may think about the war and all those issues, a lot of baggage there, these are tirelessly working people. And the notion that somehow they are engaged in some sort of vanity projects there, I saw nothing of that. And in fact, for what it's worth, with respect to the convocation there at Quantico with the president, the secretary of defense, I recall very well that when the generals and colonels were summoned back to Washington from Baghdad and from Kirkuk and from Mosul, other places, with due respect, they would never say this out loud. They hated it. Why? Because, again, number one, they could communicate much more easily, even by civets across the planet. But number two, it removed them from their capacity in the field to do the jobs that they were doing. So many things about this, including Van Orden's comment, are not just factually wrong as a very, very provable matter, but also hugely offensive to me who watched our military in that setting do nothing but protect the interests of not just Americans and our interests there, but also Iraqi populations, other members of our coalition forces there.
And Joan, I mean, what happened there this week was, again, it was an embarrassment to hear what Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth had to say. But I mean, we use this phrase all the time, but we now have the ultimate example of this meeting could have been an email. What was the discussion like for you and your listeners?
Well, I had retired former Major General Randy Manner on to talk about it. And he... You know, he reiterated over and over again that the military will not forget their obligation is to serve the Constitution and to serve the people. And they're not political. At one point, did you hear when Donald Trump was speaking to them? He looked at them and he said, you know, you can applaud. And Randy said, no, actually, I mean, these aren't just green recruits, you know, who are going to applaud every time Donald Trump looks at them. These are the brass. They have military discipline. They want to be, they're supposed to be apolitical. And you're absolutely right. Randy pointed out part of the reason why this in-person gathering was so expensive. He said, when you're at that level in the military, when you travel with aides, you travel with security. Every person in that room basically showed up in Washington with an entourage. It cost millions for that in-person meeting. And of course, they have secure channels. You know, Randy said that within 1 hour, with 1 hour's notice, this same crowd could have been gathered to hear this same message over secure channels.
I honestly wonder, coming out of all of this, because of everything you just said, Joan, all the security, all the travel arrangements and everything, how much more was this an intelligence gathering operation for Vladimir Putin and others? They got such a view of how American military command and security works at a global level that they never would have received otherwise. And honestly, if Donald Trump does not have a filter. And if at some point he says, you know, about this, oh, yeah, I got that idea. You know, Vladimir gave me that idea. He thought it would be a good idea to get all the leadership together. And he's just a useful enough puppet to be used in that way. And I am just, again, just embarrassed at what came of this and you know, how we go forward from here. I've only got about 2 minutes left here, so I just want to get some really quick answers on the shutdown before we go to break here. Jim, we'll start with you again as a former U.S. attorney. What's the impact of government shutdowns when it comes to federal prosecutors having to do their work and continue to seek justice?
Two very important points. I dealt with this when I was U.S. attorney during the shutdown of the Obama administration. Two things. The notion that government is not affected by this and you're still getting your mail and your Social Security checks, that's a very good thing. But it does have an impact upon inside the Department of Justice. Attorneys doing their job representing you in the courts of America, civil cases, criminal cases, we had to make hard decisions about who goes home. And at least for the immediate future, does not get paid. And the second point, which I'll make very quickly, Pat, equally so, is these are civil servants. They are not political people. I was horrified. People were crying in my office because we were sending them home. They could not do their jobs, instructed not to do their jobs. That would be in violation of the law. People so committed to their jobs that they were firmly upset by what's going on. And I look to the Congress, and once again, I say, a pox on both your houses. Get your act together. Could you imagine being in a corporation, a nonprofit, and the board of directors being told, well, we just didn't get a budget put together in time, and so we're shutting down. I recognize there's an awful lot of argument on both sides about this, the merits of what's going on. But this is, frankly, once again, upsetting to me as a former government official, and it compromises the integrity of the government, prevents people from doing what they should be doing on behalf of the people of the United States of America. Congress, do your job.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito are here talking about the headlines of the week, and we thank them very much for being a part of our Friday. And remember, in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly here and Mike Clemens talking a little sports with us as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Nashville today. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Swing big at Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, bringing you the Golf for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Mention Big G and get $20 off your next round. Hurry, offer ends October 31st.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the Go for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Friday morning on the Buzz of the North, Joel and Gray ducking back in here for a final time before you will be dismissed for the weekend. We have a keyword, love. L-O-V-E is your text to win keyword for this hour. And one final blast of warmth before the spring, before the winter feel settles in next week. Highs 50s, maybe even some low 60s in there too. But we talk a little football, Mr. Gunderson.
Every time we get the chance.
Yeah, our last segment on Fridays. No Packers this weekend. Any Packer news? I saw they made a mild roster move, but nothing really earth-shattering, right, here in the bye week?
No, certainly not. That was the tackle released earlier in the week last week, claimed off waivers by the Titans the day after it happened. But I think the Titans probably have top waiver priority right now because it's based off of record. So if the Titans want somebody on waivers, I'm pretty sure they're going to get him right now. but more, not much Packers news. We're just kind of waiting to see what the recovery time is for offensive lineman Zach Tom on the right tackle spot and left guard Aaron Banks. And that matters a lot. And then we've also got Devontae Wyatt injured on the defensive line. kind of waiting for a timeline on that one too. As usual, the big stories are linemen. The big names are the skill position players, but the game winners, those big guys up front.
It seems there seems to be a trend, a football chatter trend toward the fact that people think that there's more injuries in football now because in practice, they're not practicing with pads hardly ever. There's the amount that teams practice full contact now is almost zero compared to what it was as recently as 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Probably good for the human body, but as far as preparing yourself for war, I guess, on the field, I mean, it's probably not. I would guess there's probably more injuries. I haven't seen any solid stats, but that kind of seems to be the sports talk chatter now.
Well, I dove into this a couple months ago, actually, before the preseason started, because I had heard similarly. And at the time, I'd have to update this. So really the best answer that I should probably stop after is I'd have to look again. But at the time, and this was just a couple months ago, what I was able to find was that, in fact, injury levels between non-contact practices and contact practices were actually averaging about the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The thing is that the injuries seem to take place at different times rather than whether they – it's not about whether they do or don't happen than that they're happening in practice versus in games, early season versus late season. But as best I could confirm, when I looked recently, the overall number – isn't that much different. And the number of season-ending or year-long injuries, those kind of elevated, nastier tiered ones that kind of deserve the special recognition if they are happening more, again, numbers shake out roughly the same. I was surprised to see that. I'd want to look again, but maybe there's been new info since then because there's certainly been more attention. It's kept the attention, that subject has kept attention and has built some momentum, so that could be useful. Anytime that topic... a topic like that gains more momentum, like concussions a decade or so ago, you get new studies. So hopefully we can get new info.
Seems like there's more offensive linemen getting hurt. I don't know whether that's true or not, but when you look at the logistics of football and how much larger linebackers are and what's going on at the line of scrimmage, it would make sense to make just kind of a statement that, yeah, offensive linemen are probably going to get hurt more because the linebackers are facing way almost as much as they do, and they're coming at them pretty hard.
Yes. Another one of those things that I love watching shift over time is the size of linebackers versus receivers versus tight ends versus some defensive backs and size versus speed. And right now we're in this interesting spot where linebackers and tight ends are expected to be both big and fast. And usually there's not enough of that to go around, but it seems like everybody's got them. So, yeah, injuries are always going to be more relevant than we want. And we're at that point in the season where they really start to stack up and show. But yeah, I'd want to look again to see if there's maybe new info. The thing that always stands out to me is the recovery. That is absolutely different. Cooper Kupp came back better from a torn ACL. I mean, do you remember when Adrian Peterson went down mm-hmm. with a similar injury and he came back what at the time was very quickly, but it's now pretty much the average speed. You know, if you tear your ACL in game one and your team makes the playoffs, we might see you again.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
Tell somebody that 20 years ago. So, I mean, things are changing, but certainly not all for the worse.
And when a team suffers injuries is key too, because you, like you said, first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, chances are by week 16 or 17, you might be healthy again if you can find your way into the playoffs.
Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson almost lost his leg last year, and people were saying, hey, these Lions are hot. He could end up in the Super Bowl. It wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so crazy to think.
Moms out there, moms, if you can crank out a 300-pound offensive lineman with a good brain who can figure out where to block, that's going to be worth a lot of money in the future. I'm just saying.
I got nothing right? for that.
So the Vikings play.
I don't defend him, ladies.
So
I
the
don't.
Vikings play Sunday morning again. They're over in London. London is a hotbed for NFL now. They got like 4 weeks in a row, I think, where there's games there.
Yeah.
So Cleveland and Minnesota will play. That's a big game for the Vikings because you go 2-3, and you got a tougher schedule coming up, and the quarterback position is a question mark. If the Vikings fall to 2-3, their chances of making the playoffs, I don't think, are very good. 3-2 going into that, just a little bit better. But I think it's a big week for the Vikings to beat a good Cleveland team. Look at the over-under on this game, total points.
35.5.
That's crazy in the NFL. 35 points, they say, is going to be scored total between these two teams Sunday morning.
I mean, yeah, every other game has at least 40 points on the line.
Yeah.
Every single other game.
Yeah.
And in fact, only one of those, or two of those games are under 42 expected. So, yeah, it's the big story here for me is the evolving quarterback situation for Minnesota and also the newly evolving quarterback situation for Cleveland. This will be Dylan Gabriel's first starting quarterback.
Right.
He becomes the first quarterback to begin his career internationally in the NFL.
Flacco's out.
And he's also not Shedeur Sanders, which is its own storyline.
All right. And the Lions will be on the road late game on Sunday at Cincinnati. You certainly think they would slice and dice that bad Bengal defense on Sunday. If they don't, then we got questions again, right?
Indeed. And there will always be questions. I'll find a reason to talk about football. Don't you worry. I'll have question marks for you.
Keyword this hour is love, L-O-V-E, love. And I got a note here that Civic Media does not endorse Joel's line about moms making 300-pound offensive linemen. All right. Have a good week.
We knew.
Have a good weekend, Gray.
You too, Joel. Thanks.
We got Pat Kreitlow coming in more on the Buzz of the North. Have a good weekend, everybody. Enjoy the beautiful weather. It's 7:59.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. This is day three of the government shutdown. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers are furloughed. President Trump has said he is figuring out ways to fire them permanently. White House Budget Director Russell Vogt now saying that the administration will withhold $2 billion already earmarked for Chicago infrastructure projects. Earlier this week, $18 billion in infrastructure was also pulled from Blue State New York. A shock in Southern California.
Sitting at home watching TV, and then all of a sudden it's kind of sounded like sort of like plane engines, almost a plane about to crash, and then a big whoosh, and the curtains all